Thank you, Mr. Hayes. The case is submitted. We'll hear argument next to number 86939, ETSI Pipeline versus Missouri, and 86941. Mr. Minear, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. Section 9 of the Flood Control Act of 1944 approved the Pick-Sloan Plan, a comprehensive, multiple-purpose program jointly administered by the Army and the Interior Department for development of the Missouri River Basin's water resources. The question here is whether the Secretary of the Interior may enter into a contract pursuant to the federal reclamation laws, to supply a portion of the program's unneeded irrigation water for ETSI pipeline projects' state-approved industrial use. I would like to begin by briefly describing the Pick-Sloan Plan. Pick-Sloan represents a comprehensive yet flexible response to the needs of a vast and varied river basin. It combines the flood control features of the Army's proposed Pick Plan and the reclamation features of Interior's proposed Sloan Plan into a unified interagency program designed to provide maximum basin-wide benefits. Under this plan, the arid upper basin states dedicated a great expanse of productive lands for construction of the massive mainstem reservoirs that would protect the lower basin states from disastrous seasonal floods. In return, the upper basin states received assurances that water stored in these reservoirs, located within their borders, would be available for irrigation and other needs. The mainstem reservoirs have now been completed, and the lower basin states are secured from the once devastating floodwaters. But the upper basin states' anticipated irrigation needs have not yet fully materialized, and those states wish to put this water, which presently inundates their territory, to other beneficial applications. The dispute here centers on Lake Oahe, a mainstem reservoir that was central to both the Pick and the Sloan plans. The Army originally proposed two small flood control reservoirs at this location. Interior, by contrast, recommended one large reservoir with much greater capacity to meet the upper basin state's reclamation needs. The Army and Interior ultimately agreed that Interior's proposal, with its massive reclamation storage capacity, would best serve the needs of the basin. However, it became clear in the early 1970s that the upper basin state's irrigation needs were not developing as quickly as expected. The Interior Department, with the cooperation of the Army, therefore agreed to market the resulting unneeded irrigation water at Lake Oahe and other reservoirs for state-approved applications.
Mr. Minear, have the two agencies, Interior and the Army, always agreed consistently on the proper interpretation of the Flood Control Act?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that they have. And this agreement has been formulated
in part.
There
was some suggestion, certainly, by the respondents that they have not always agreed that the Army had maintained at one time that the Secretary of the Interior could not market water from Army reservoirs independently.
The Army General Counsel, at the time that this proposal was first made, indicated that the statute appeared somewhat ambiguous, but nevertheless agreed to cooperate with the Interior Department's proposal, deferring to the Interior Department's expertise in supplying industrial water in these circumstances.
Well, has there been some uncertainty of the position of the two agencies in the past? Apparently, they've come together for purposes of this litigation, but I'm trying to get a candid assessment of what their position was before.
I think at the highest levels of the Army, with the respect to the Secretary of the Army mm-hmm. and the General Counsel of the Army, who are in a position to make these determinations under the Flood Control Act, there has been substantial agreement between the two agencies throughout this program. The respondents cite several memoranda, internal memoranda, obtained through discovery, that express some doubts at lower levels. However, the Army General Counsel has been quite consistent in his approach in this matter throughout, since 1974.
Since I have you interrupted, let me ask you one other thing. Under Section 6 now, the Corps can market surplus water.
That is correct.
Now, unused irrigation storage water can be marketed by Interior.
Yes, that is correct also,
now,
Your Honor.
Can it be the same water?
Probably.
What is surplus water as opposed to unused irrigation storage water? Is it the same water we're talking about?
Not necessarily.
Could it
Army,
be?
Could it be
the same?
Usually not. For instance, I would think that the water that now has the ETSI contract, this particular 20,000 acre feet of water, would not be treated as surplus water by the Army.
Why not?
Because it is being put to a use by the Interior Department. And it's being put to a use in accordance with the federal reclamation laws.
Am I mistaken, then, in thinking that the Corps has changed its position so it now believes that it could have marketed the water in this case as surplus water?
I believe that Army's present position, which is presently being formulated at this point, it is still under evolution, would be that it would not be able to market the ETSI water. And the reason is this. Let me go back first to 1974. The Army made a determination at that point that it probably could not market unutilized irrigation water in these circumstances because it would run through the hydropower turbines and would therefore serve a beneficial use. The Army has found that this interpretation, in fact, has resulted in some very harsh applications, in particular with small towns. For instance, Partial, North Dakota, was the example used here. The town requested a very small amount of water, 123 acre feet, for its municipal uses. The town almost adjoins the reservoir and was in need of water. The Army's initial determination was that perhaps it could not supply this water because the water could be used to go through the turbine. The Army has attempted to ameliorate that policy by, in fact, making this water by concluding that when water can be made available to a municipal application without interfering with other project purposes, that it then can supply the water. This is really what the Army's policy is designed
can't
toward.
Can't supply it. Why? Because it becomes surplus?
They have decided to treat that type of water as surplus.
Well, that's nice, but what does surplus water mean? I thought it meant spillover.
Traditionally, that's how the Army defined it, water that would, in fact, pass over the spillway that would not be used for any purpose.
What else could it possibly mean?
Well, in this case, take the example here where the water is being used to produce hydropower, and that is the only purpose that this water can serve at all. If in this case, the small town, in this case Partial, is willing to pay enough for that water, in fact, to recoup the lost hydropower purposes, then it fulfills the ultimate objectives of the reservoir.
Well, that's very desirable, but does that transform it into surplus water? That's the issue.
It appears that that's what, in fact, Congress meant when, in fact, it adopted the surplus water provisions here in the Flood Control Act, Section 6, that it was, at that time, addressing these types of problems.
Well, it was addressing one aspect of problems of water that is not being used and making that water usable. But only one type of water that wasn't being used, that is surplus water, which means spillover water, that is not being reserved for irrigation, is not being reserved for any other use.
Well, Your Honor, I think in any event, I think
that, you know, that's meeting one aspect of that problem. But to say you meet one aspect of the problem is not to say you intend to meet all aspects, including water reserved for irrigation that is not being used. You would not consider that surplus water, would you?
No, Your Honor, I think what's important to remember here is the Army's authority is not what is in question here. Instead, it's the Interior Department's authority. That is what has been challenged and is the subject matter of this dispute.
The meaning of surplus water is quite relevant to the entire case, whether it pertains not just to the Army's position, but to what the two agencies can do.
And I think that the two agencies have reached a reconciled position between based on their two definitions, that in fact, Army...
You represent both agencies.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Mr. Manure, I must confess.
That's a very ingenious position to be in.
Yes, Your Honor.
I share Justice O'Connor's historical concerns. It seemed to me that for a while this was a turf battle between the Army and the Interior until it got under the jurisdiction of the Solicitor General and brought them together. Let me read one sentence from Judge Bright's dissent. It leaves the irrigation water stored in the main stem reservoirs without a governing agency or law. Do you agree with that, or are you defending that, or is Judge Bright completely wrong?
I think that Judge Bright is partially correct in
partially
that
correct.
Respect. The Army simply cannot market all of the water that's available in this reservoir as surplus water. It's simply, you must remember that the Army's mission is primarily flood control and navigation protection. The supply of surplus water is simply an ancillary power that has been given to them by Congress to assure maximum utilization of these reservoirs. Congress's ultimate objective in these cases is to assure that these reservoirs do the most good for the most people. That point is repeated throughout the legislative history. It's the guiding principle of the PICT plan and the Sloan plan. And that is what the Army and Interior Department are attempting to do here.
Of course, it's a strange thing that the Eighth Circuit panel divided upper basin against lower basin judges, too.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, wasn't this reservoir was designed to have and built to include irrigation water?
That is correct, Your Honor.
That was quite a lot of it.
Yes, it was designed.
And the Secretary of Interior has found that water, none of that water, or at least all of that water, is not needed for irrigation.
Not at the present. That's
and,
right.
And so there the water sits unused for irrigation anyway. And your claim is, I take it, that the Secretary of Interior has the power to use that water for some other purposes.
To make that water available to the state.
So it's unused irrigation water.
Yes, that
or
is how we
treat slurry in Wyoming.
Yes, that is right.
Well, Mr. Manure, getting back just for a moment to this business of the relationship between the Secretary of the Army and the Secretary of the Interior, certainly if the Secretary of the Army had joined in signing this contract, there wouldn't be any lawsuit at all, would there?
Well, I'm not so sure about that at all. The complaint here, yes, the respondents, the states, have challenged the Army's authority as well as Interior's authority. In any event, this authority was executed under the Interior's powers under the reclamation laws. So whether the Army signed the contract or not is probably not relevant given the authority that was asserted on the basis of the contract.
Certainly would have answered the theory of the Court of Appeals decision, which was that it's a joint responsibility rather than a single responsibility.
But in fact did cooperate here. And in fact the contract notes that. No, the contract.
This lawsuit would be over if the Secretary of the Army had signed this contract.
I respectively disagree with you, Your Honor.
Certainly the Court of Appeals decision wouldn't have been written the way it was.
Perhaps it would have been written differently.
Perhaps.
That is correct.
Well, what was the vice in the agreement, according to them, that they didn't have the approval of the Army? That's the only vice, according to the Court of Appeals.
Your Honor, I don't think that is correct. I think because, remember, the water service contract was executed under the reclamation laws, pursuant to a state water right that ETSI now holds. Now, the Army is generally not involved with the application of the reclamation laws in these cases.
You think that the case would have been the same if the Army had endorsed the contracts, we ratify and approve everything that's being done here?
Oh, I think that there still would
make the same claim?
It's likely that there still would have been a lawsuit in these cases.
Well, it's on some other ground,
yes.
Certainly. But you're telling us that the Secretary of the Army agrees that the Secretary of Interior has this authority, but isn't willing to sign these papers. That's what the law says.
Your Honor, it was not necessary for the Secretary of the Army to sign these papers.
Well,
if you look at
whether
the contract,
it was necessary or not, they could have avoided a lawsuit and taken a lot of
yes, perhaps that's
time
right, but the contract itself
contract.
Even specifies that the Army, in fact, was consulted on this and approved this, not approved, but in fact was
well, is there any legal significance to their having been consulted and approved?
I think that there is legal significance because the PICT
plan. Then the Secretary of Interior does not have the authority to act independently.
Right. Well, in terms of acting independently, I think it's important to get this point straight, and that is that under the Pick-Sloan plan, the Army and Interior constantly consult on all of these matters because what one does affects the other. And so I think that it is true that there is an obligation for consultation and coordination. That took place in this case. And that
what
is
if after the consultation, the Army says, I've heard everything you consulted with me about, but I just think you're all wrong. I'd like to use this water for downstream purposes.
Then that can be resolved within the executive branch.
Then the Secretary of Interior could not act independently.
That is right. If the Secretary of the Army...
The Secretary of the Interior can act independently unless the Army objects.
That is right.
Strange law.
Mr. Minear, the Secretary of the Army couldn't have signed this contract, could he, purporting to act under the Reclamation Act?
Yes, Your Honor, that is the point I was trying to make.
He has no authority under the provision under which the contract purported to be executed.
That is absolutely
nor
correct,
Nor is it
Honor.
Clear that he had any authority, nor is it clear that he even asserts to have any such authority under the surplus water provision of the Act, which he is in control of.
Every one of those points is correct,
So
Your
there's
Honor.
No possible basis on which he could conscientiously have signed the contract.
I agree completely, Your Honor.
The most he could do was to agree with Interior that it was a good idea to do it.
Yes.
He did.
That is correct.
It had authority to execute a contract like this on its own, it would be pursuant to a completely different set of rules.
That is correct also. That
Which
would be under Section 6.
Fundamental importance.
Yes, that is right.
The Army doesn't assert anything here because the Army is not here.
Your Honor, the Army did sign our brief, but this is primarily
the
a
Army
case.
Here?
In what respect, Your Honor? The Army was sued in this case, yes.
You represent the Army?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the Interior?
That is right, Your Honor.
Well, which side should I take?
You should take the side of the United States, and we speak of with one voice in this case, Your Honor.
Yep, exactly.
As I was saying, the water marketing program advanced three important objectives in this case. First, it permitted the upper basin states to apply some of their presently unneeded irrigation water to other beneficial uses. Second, it allowed the Interior Department to recoup some of the costs incurred in providing irrigation storage. And third, it secured water for alternative energy sources at the height of the Arab oil embargo. Now, we submit that Section 9 of the Flood Control Act authorizes the Secretary of the Interior to enter into the ETSI contract. Our legal position is quite straightforward. Section 9A of the Flood Control Act approves the Pick-Sloan Plan, which in turn designates the Secretary of the Interior as the appropriate authority to manage the reclamation aspects of the main stem reservoirs. Section 9C then identifies the body of law, namely federal reclamation law, that governs how the Secretary shall exercise that authority. The Secretary may therefore enter into contracts to supply unutilized irrigation water from a main stem reservoir, in this case Lake Oahe, in accordance with the provisions of the Reclamation Project Act, a federal reclamation law that permits the Secretary of the Interior to provide unneeded irrigation water for miscellaneous purposes. There are two points here that bear special emphasis. First, the Pick-Sloan Plan sets forth the basic policy for the systematic development of the river basin. And it expressly recognizes that the Secretary of the Interior shall have authority over irrigation storage at the main stem reservoirs. It naturally follows under this functional division of authority that the Secretary is authorized to administer the application of irrigation waters not presently needed for irrigation use. And second, when Section 9C instructs that the reclamation developments to be undertaken by the Secretary shall be governed by the reclamation laws, it is referring to the Secretary's reclamation activities and not merely the physical works constructed by the Bureau of Reclamation. Thus, Section 9C makes clear that the reclamation laws shall govern the Secretary's entire reclamation program, beginning with his initial assessment of irrigation storage requirements, continuing through to final repayment of costs, and including his determination what should be done with unneeded irrigation water. Respondents have only modest quarrels with our construction of Section 9. They principally contend that two other provisions of the Flood Control Act, Section 6 and 8, override Section 9 and the functional division of authority set forth in the Pick-Sloan Plan. The reply briefs filed in this case explain in considerable detail why respondents are wrong. I will simply summarize our answer here. First, respondents observe that Section 6 gives the Army general authority to market surplus water from Army flood control projects. They then surmise that the Army must have exclusive authority to market water from the Pick-Sloan Program's main stem reservoirs. Plainly, respondents' logic does not follow. Section 6 does not purport to give the Army exclusive water marketing authority, nor does it indicate how that authority should be exercised at hybrid facilities, which combine both flood control and reclamation features. There is no basis for interpreting Section 6 to override the functional division of authority expressly set forth in the Pick-Sloan Plan. Second, respondents suggest that Section 8, which specifies the general procedure for adding reclamation features to Army flood control projects, provides the only avenue by which Interior can exercise reclamation responsibilities at Army projects. Respondents' Section 8 argument is also untenable. Section 8 deals with how to add reclamation features to flood control projects. The section has no application here where Interior is attempting to assure that Lake Oahe's preeminent and existing reclamation feature, namely its massive irrigation storage capacity, is optimally applied to a permissible reclamation use. Respondents also contend that the Secretary's interpretation is not entitled to deference. However, this is precisely the type of case where deference is appropriate. First and foremost, the Secretary's construction of Section 9 is certainly reasonable. The most that respondents can argue is the statute may be ambiguous, in which event the Secretary's reasonable interpretation.
But it wasn't even ambiguous.
Yes.
It was so clear that there was no room for deference.
But the Court of Appeals relied on Section 6 and Section 8, which, as I've indicated, really have no relevance here. They've simply read the wrong sections of the statute. They saw perfect plainness in the wrong provisions. Second, the Flood Control Act is written in unusually broad language that indicates Congress's intention that the responsible agencies would fill in the gaps in this legislation. Furthermore, the Interior Department was intimately involved in the formulation of this legislative program, and its interpretations are therefore particularly persuasive. In addition,
one other question before you get
yes,
farther into your deference argument. What is the status of the contract right now?
I
understand that the project is not going to be used for the originally intended purpose.
The contract in essence, has simply been held up. There are still obligations that are owed by ETSI under the contract, and we continue to have an obligation to provide that water. The contract has been enjoined. Performance has been enjoined, and therefore neither of these activities have taken place.
But I thought ETSI had canceled.
No, ETSI has not canceled the contract. They have essentially shelved their project, but the contract remains a tangible asset of theirs, which they are free to assign under certain conditions.
Is it a matter of indifference to the Secretary of Interior what use the water is put to? Do you care what they do with the water?
Yes, we do care what they do with the water.
But you don't know what they're going to do with the water.
Well, the water, they can only apply the water in accordance with a state permit. Now, they obtained a state permit. I believe the permit has since lapsed because they're obligated to make a very large payment.
They were going to use it in some kind of coal storage, weren't they?
But yes, that's right.
And that purpose was approved, but
yes,
you don't know what they really will do with it now.
No, we don't, Your Honor. But if it went outside of the terms of the contract, the understanding of the contract, I'm sure that the Secretary would object. We did supply this water for a particular purpose in this case.
Well, what are the terms? And so it would have to be used for coal slurry pump?
At least for industrial purposes, I believe. I think this would be a matter of really contract interpretation. I'm not sure I'm well enough versed on the contract to make that determination.
And that's a matter entirely within the authority of the Secretary of Interior to approve of the purpose or disapprove.
Yes, and of course there'd be consultation with the Army once again about this.
Is there an obligation to consult with the Army yet now?
We believe that there is an obligation for the two agencies to consult in the activities that take place at the Pixloam reservoirs, given the nature of their hybrid facilities. As I was saying before, I think that the Secretary's interpretation is certainly entitled to deference here, particularly because the question here is complex and requires specialized knowledge of a vast water resources program that has been committed to the care of expert agencies. Furthermore, the Interior Department has consistently adhered to its present interpretation throughout the life of this contract and through the same basic principles.
One other, if I may. I hate to keep interrupting. But supposing there was a dispute as to a given quantity of water, whether it was surplus water the Army had jurisdiction over or unutilized irrigation water, to whom would we defer on resolving such a dispute?
That dispute would be resolved within the executive branch and most likely would not be answered by the courts. Instead, the determination would be made between the Secretary of the Interior and the Secretary of the Army.
That would be resolved in the executive branch, but this one can't be.
Pardon?
I'm not sure why that dispute is resolvable within the executive branch any more than this one is.
Well, it is because both of those agencies are ultimately answerable to the President. And in fact, when this project was originally formulated, it's clear that President Roosevelt was very active in determining the hybrid nature of these facilities. So there is an answer in the executive branch for any interagency dispute that might exist here.
And you're telling me that in this case, you wouldn't have solved the dispute by resolving that dispute and having the President of the United States tell them both, I think this water should be used for that purpose, and I'd like you both to sign this contract. We'd still have this lawsuit.
Well, again, I think as Justice Scalia mentioned earlier, the contract was executed under the reclamation laws. after consultation with the Army. The Army had no objection.
Another whereas clause that by virtue of the authority given by that statute and by the authority given by Section 6 to the Army, we sell you this water.
Yes, but Section 6 wasn't mentioned. I think it's useful to know exactly what statutes these waters are being applied because they might have different repercussions.
Puzzled as to what disputes are resolvable within the executive branch and why you have to come to us.
I think that the disputes between agencies are resolvable within the executive branch, but this is not a dispute really between agencies. This is a dispute between the upper and lower basin states over the use of this water.
Justice Stevens would obviously be correct if it were clear, and if you acknowledge that the Army had authority, if it had jurisdiction over this water, to dispose of it, but that isn't clear.
Yes, that's right, it is not clear.
And that not being clear, the only way to do it with assurance of lawfulness was through Interior.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, but it's perfectly clear that one or the other or both had the authority to dispose of this water, is it not? Either the Army or the Secretary or both clearly had the authority by virtue of a combination of Section 6 of one Act and Section 9.
Our position is that Interior clearly has authority to dispose of this water.
But nobody could contest the power to sell this water if they had both agreed and invoked both statutes that we won't try to define the water as either surplus or irrigation because whatever it is, we want to dispose of it for this purpose.
In terms of contesting, I'm quite confident we would still have a lawsuit here today, Your Honor, even if Army had signed the contract. I would like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Very well, Mr. Manier. I will hear now from you, Ms. Ozenbaugh.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the Court. The question here is what law governs industrial use of water stored in Army reservoirs on the Missouri River? Respondents submit that the courts below very properly held that the Secretary of the Interior may not claim unilateral marketing authority over waters in Army reservoirs for industrial use. Instead, Section 6 of the Act expressly provides the terms which govern industrial use of this Army reservoir. And Section 6 provides that the Secretary of the Army makes the decision whether water is available for industrial use. And Section 6 also very specifically protects other uses of the water. It establishes the terms and conditions for industrial use of water at Army reservoirs.
Could you help me with the problem I've had with your adversary? Would you agree that if the Secretary of the Army had said, well, we're not sure whether it's surplus water or irrigation water, but we join in the contract, would you still have an objection to this transaction?
There would be two issues if the Secretary of the Army had joined in the contract. There would not be the issue, of which agency can market the water. And then the question would simply be whether the Secretary of the Army complied with the terms of Section 6.
In other words, would you take the position that if you win this lawsuit, the Secretary of the Interior can't dispose of this water, and then they said, well, we'll now classify it as surplus water rather than that, you'd say they can't, would you also say they couldn't sell it then either?
Then the issue would be the reasonableness of Army's interpretation of Section 6, as it's shown by the Army.
You would oppose to that sale, too?
No, I'm not saying that, Your Honor, but I am saying that Section 6 does impose substantive protections of other uses.
Let me ask you another, put it a different way. Say the President of the United States thinks we ought to sell this water, and he calls in the Secretary of the Army and the Secretary of the Interior and says, how can we do it? And they do all the paperwork in the world on it. Would you find any objection to their power to dispose of this water if they all agreed they wanted to do it?
No, we would agree that they would have power to make the decision whether to dispose of the water. And the Army General Counsel's opinion indicates that Army does have authority to determine whether this water is available for industrial use and to determine that a certain portion of that water is surplus, even though it may reduce the power generated at the reservoir. The difference, though, between Army's current position and the position of the Secretary of the Interior is still quite significant.
Well, I'm trying to get your position.
Yes.
Would you have any objection to a contract that was signed by both the Secretary of the Army and the Secretary of the Interior and sought its authority in both statutes, said we don't want to worry about whether to classify it as surplus or extra irrigation water. We just want to dispose of this water for this purpose. Would you say they had no power to do that?
No, I would not say they had no power. I would say that provided that they did reasonably accommodate other project purposes and meet the requirements.
They didn't do anything except what they've done here. Accommodated nothing else, they have all this very large amount of water in this particular reservoir. Would you say that, given the facts we all know are true as of now, and just recited them all in the contract, both the Army and the Interior signed the contract, would you have any valid objection to the contract, to the sale of the water?
if they did not adequately protect other uses.
Well, but they gave precisely the same protection that this contract gives.
Well, if I understood it, if Interior markets it, all Interior has to be concerned about is whether other irrigation needs are met. And it's not necessary for Interior to think about downstream users at all if they aren't using it for irrigation. Now, if the Army sells it as surplus, then it's my understanding that consideration must be given to the flood control and other possible power uses and other uses of downstream users above and beyond irrigation use. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And under this contract, the consideration to downstream users was not given because Interior was considering only irrigation, and there wasn't any irrigation. Isn't that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Interior takes the position that the Reclamation Projects Act requires that it not only that it need consider only the effect on irrigation, and not even just the effect on irrigation, but only its own irrigation units. And so we have challenged the adequacy of their consideration.
But they can only they only purport to reach that part of a reservoir's capacity that has been set aside for irrigation.
There is no specific block of water set aside for irrigation. That is, the water is in multipurpose storage where it is used for all the purposes that Congress envisioned.
I know, but if the lake hadn't been built to irrigate also, it wouldn't have been built the way it was.
It is correct. It was built for a variety of purposes.
It was built to have a specific amount of irrigation water capacity.
There is no defined specific amount. It was clear that Congress contemplated that there would be significant irrigation development and that the reservoirs would be
designed. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought I read that it was agreed between the two agencies what the capacity of the lake would be, this reservoir would be, and that a specific amount of it was for irrigation.
Well, I don't believe
that
they have ever shown a specific amount for the irrigation. The agencies did agree, and the capacity of the reservoirs was established in the documents that coordinate the plans. The district court specifically noted that the only thing a function Interior has ever had at the reservoir, is, other than marketing hydropower, which is a power taken away, was to the language in the Senate documents indicating that the two agencies would agree on the reservoir capacity.
Let me ask you, do you think there's water available for irrigation in this reservoir?
Yes, there's water.
And if there was a need for it, Interior could go ahead and sell it for that purpose.
Yes, Section 8.
Without anybody's consent. I mean, not without the Army's consent.
Under Section 8, for them to develop any irrigation works to utilize the water, congressional authorization would be required.
Well, yes, but not Army's.
For them to construct a work, there is an advanced determination requirement by Army. But the third — Section 8 has been construed to indicate that reclamation law and Interior would have irrigation
control,
purposes.
There's irrigation water in that reservoir, and Interior has the responsibility for that water. It says it doesn't need it now.
No, Your Honor. The reservoir was placed under Army control, the entire reservoir
yes.
for the Pixelon plan.
Yes.
There's water in that reservoir which could be used for irrigation.
Yes.
Section 8 provides for Interior to carry out that irrigation
yes.
function.
Yes, exactly.
And Section 6 provides for Army to carry out the industrial use
right.
function.
Right, exactly.
So Interior water could be provided for irrigation, but nothing in the Act or in the Pixelon plan gives Interior jurisdiction over the block of storage or for the use of that water for industrial purposes.
Well, so you're saying, you're really saying, which is not what the Court of Appeals said, that Interior would never have any power to sell any water for industrial purposes?
No, Your Honor. I'm saying that Section...
You just said that.
I don't believe so. Interior has no authority to dip directly into the reservoir and say, this block of water is under our control, we are going to divert that for industrial use. Interior does have authority, if the procedures in Section 8 are followed, to operate separate irrigation works. If it operates separate irrigation works, it has incidental powers under the reclamation law, including power to provide water for municipal
so
and miscellaneous
if they, so if they had the irrigation works here, if they needed the water for irrigation and they developed whatever works were necessary and were using the water for irrigation, but they said, well, there's a lot of other water that could be used for irrigation. Could they sell that for industrial purposes?
Only if it was incidental to the irrigation function.
Well, that's a completely different rationale than the Court of Appeals used, which, and it may be quite right.
Well, perhaps I'm misunderstanding the question or misstating it, because I believe the Court of Appeals specifically talked about...
What you're saying is, as I understand it, that Interior has got no power whatsoever to sell unused irrigation water for industrial purposes.
Directly from an Army reservoir in the absence of a work authorized by Congress.
Exactly. But it's got power to develop and use that water for irrigation right out of the Army reservoir. And you would say that the only purpose that it can divert water from that reservoir is for irrigation.
Questions would arise if Interior had a congressionally authorized irrigation work as to what incidental functions it could carry out through that work, but directly
but
from the reservoir.
You certainly wouldn't say that this kind of a project would be incidental to any kind of irrigation, would you?
It's very unlikely.
Well, so you do have quite a different approach, and it may be quite right.
The significant difference between Section 6 and the Reclamation Law is that Section 6 does protect other uses of the water. Congress placed the Missouri River reservoirs under the control of the Secretary of the Army because of their peculiarly close relationship with flood control and navigation. That is, their dominant purpose was flood control and navigation and not irrigation. And the water is contained in multipurpose storage where it is used for a variety of purposes, including navigation, flood control, and hydropower generation. Because Army manages the reservoir and Army has control over all the waters in that reservoir, it is the logical entity to determine what water is surplus to the functions and the purposes of the reservoir. Interior carries out no function at Owyhee Reservoir. It has no interest in protecting other uses of the water. It's Bureau of Reclamation, which is the entity of the Department of the Interior involved in this case, has limited geographic reach. It has no interest in the states of Iowa, Missouri, or Minnesota, three of the 10 Missouri Basin states. CORE, by contrast, is a national agency that can represent all interests in the interstate river. It's incongruous to take the position of the Secretary of the Interior that two agencies can market the same water for the same use, we're talking only about industrial use, on different terms. It encourages forum shopping by entities such as Etsy that seek to exempt themselves from the limitations Congress directly imposed in Section 6. Now, when Etsy approved this contract in 1982, it was its first assertion of unilateral authority to market the water, and it asserted that it would market 1 million acre-feet of water annually for energy or industrial use without further consideration of other uses. In so doing, it relied on the Reclamation Law. It did not rely on Section 6 or Army authority because Army had terminated the memorandum of understanding by which they had jointly provided a temporary solution from 1975 to 1978. During that time period, Army made a number of statements, including one by the Secretary of the Army, that the memorandum of understanding was only a temporary solution, that there was concern about statutory authority, and that that modifications would be brought back to Congress if desired, at no time did the agencies obtain congressional approval, and Army terminated the memorandum of understanding. Army specifically did not approve the Etsy contract under Section 6. The Court of Appeals asked for further information on that point, and the federal defendants stated that Army did not approve the contract under Section 6. It is entirely dependent upon the authority of the Secretary of the Interior. Now, they argue that, first, that there is a block of irrigation water and it's unutilized irrigation water, but concede that there is no specific block of water there that is not under Army control. It's clear from the Army General Counsel's opinion.
Ms. Osba, when you say under Army control, you don't mean day-to-day management. You mean kind of under Army jurisdiction under the statute?
I mean Army has jurisdiction over the entire reservoir that this water is contained in. It's clear that under the Pixelone Plan, Army controls the main stem reservoir.
But now
it manages it for all functions.
No, but what are the consequences of that control that you're referring to so far as Interior's right to dispense water for irrigation or to use surplus?
Well, Section 8 establishes the terms under which Interior utilizes Army reservoirs for an irrigation purpose. And the Secretary of the Interior does not rely on Section 8. They do not contend that Section 8 would justify their action here. In fact, they argue that the general sections of the Act, such as 8, which provides for the irrigation function at Army reservoirs, and Section 6, don't apply to the Secretary of the Interior on the Missouri River. And so their entire claim of authority is certain statements in legislative history that Interior would adopt regulations for the use of storage available for irrigation at Army reservoirs. However, Congress specifically rejected that approach when it rejected the language like that in the House bill and instead adopted present Section 8. So Section 8 is limited to irrigation purposes and irrigation works. Army, however, physically operates the reservoir. And it operates and has control over all the water. It doesn't just have jurisdiction over surplus water. Surplus water is the water it can be made available for industrial use. But Army has jurisdiction to determine what is surplus. And thus, the Army has taken the position, as is shown in the 1986 General Counsel's opinion, that it does have authority over the water which is stored in multipurpose storage in the reservoir, even though that water would be available for irrigation if needed. It is not a separate block that reclamation law controls this block of storage in the reservoir and Army controls the rest. Instead, all the water is subject to Army control, with Section 6 defining when the water can be made available. And defendants in their Secretary of the Interior concedes that in both industrial use at this Army reservoir and the reservoir itself, and that this water are within the scope of Section 6. Section 6 clearly sets forth the terms on which the water can be used. The Army General Counsel's opinion shows that it's a reasoned construction, that they've abandoned the position of the dissent below, that all water would be locked up and could not be used for any purpose, or even that that there would be no water available for industrial use. Current position of the Secretary of the Army, it's clear that some water could be made available for industrial use at Ahwahi under Section 6. Now, there's nothing in the Act that says that Interior controls industrial use of water at Army reservoirs. To the contrary, they cannot cite anything in either the Act or the Pick Sloan Plan that says...
The Pick Plan, I believe, utilization of storage reserved for irrigation in all multipurpose reservoirs should be in accordance with regulations prescribed by Interior. Now, this is certainly utilization of storage reserved for irrigation. Now, or at least it's, you know, close enough for government work. It's certainly a reasonable meaning of that phrase, and that's the meaning that Interior and Army have both chosen to give it. Why shouldn't we accept that?
Because Congress did not. That language, that identical language, was in Section 6 of the House bill. Congress and the Conference Committee rejected Section 6 of the House bill and instead adopted Section 8, which speaks in separate irrigation works and irrigation
but
purposes.
6 and 8 don't just apply to this dam. They apply to everything, right?
Right.
But this PIC plan only applies to this one facility, and for this one facility, Congress did approve in the statute the PIC plan, the broad outlines of it. And it seems to me that's a broad outline, that utilization of storage reserved for irrigation shall be in accordance with regulations prescribed by Interior.
All right. First, it's in the transmittal letters. It's not an integral part of the plan itself that was adopted by Congress. Second, even if that section did become law for the Missouri River and only for the Secretary of the Interior's action on the Missouri River, because they agree that Section 6 and 8 apply to Army's use of the Missouri River, it would only mean that Interior would adopt regulations for the use of that storage for irrigation purposes. Army would still operate the reservoir. Army would still enter into the contracts. Interior has never adopted regulations governing the use of this storage, so that Interior has not acted as if it believed that that language in the transmittal letters became law.
Well, I agree. I can see arguments pro and con, both. But I don't think that either of them is so overpowering that I'm willing to ride over what both Interior and Army agree should be the accepted meaning of.
Well, Army's litigation position in this court is only a very guarded statement that Interior's position is acceptable so long as it does not interfere with Army's duties.
The Solicitor General submits.
Well, I'm referring to the statements in the Solicitor General's brief in which
isn't the Solicitor General representing the Army here?
Yes, Your Honor.
So do you question his statement of what the Army's position is? Or?
No, I was merely stating that their description of what Army's position is does not,
I still don't understand
give us Army's interpretation being identical.
If this water is so much under control of the Army, how would the Interior ever go about, without getting Army's consent, to utilizing this water for irrigation?
They would follow the procedure in Section 8. Section 8, the Act does specifically provide for use of Army reservoirs for irrigation purposes.
Yes.
In practice, irrigation from the Missouri River reservoirs is not pursuant to Interior contracts, but instead...
That isn't what I ask you. I ask you, how would the Interior ever use the water for irrigation without Army's consent under your position?
Well, I think that Section 8 does provide the procedure. I think irrigation is clearly an authorized purpose of the reservoir, and that under Section 8...
That may be, so that wouldn't require anything from the Army.
It requires coordination with Army because Section 8 begins with the requirement of the determination.
So you're telling me that Interior cannot, without Army's coordination, use the water for irrigation?
I think that Section 8 establishes a procedure. Now,
the SG says
but
we look to Section 9A, not 8. That 8 is something else, and that Interior can proceed under Section 9A by administering reclamation aspects of the program. Isn't that right?
Yes. And it is clear that the Pick-Sloan plans did contemplate an irrigation purpose. It is clear that nothing in the Pick-Sloan plan gives the Secretary of the Interior authority over industrial use at Army reservoirs. Irrigation clearly can be provided and is not affected by the issue in this case, which involves industrial use. And Section 8 had been construed so that the Secretary of the Interior that reclamation law would apply to irrigation use of Army reservoirs even in the absence of works. Now, Congress has rejected the applicability of the requirements of reclamation law even to irrigation, which undercuts the theory that reclamation law can be the source of authority for industrial use. I think it's clear that Oahe can be made available for irrigation use under Section 8 and that industrial use is under Section 6.
May I just ask another stupid question, probably, but is it your position that the water that would be supplied pursuant to this contract is surplus water within the meaning of Section 6?
It is our position that the Secretary of the Army makes the determination as to whether it is surplus water, and the Secretary of the Army and that the Army General Counsel's opinion indicates that they have determined that that they can define the term surplus water to make water available for industrial use from the reservoirs.
So the answer is yes.
Yes. It is also our position that the term surplus water defines what water is available for industrial use. It does not limit Army's jurisdiction over the water for multiple purposes.
Can go if the Interior lets the contract as opposed to the Army? The money the Army gets from it goes into the Treasury. Isn't there some other disposition if the Interior Department sells the water?
On appeal, the contention has been made by the Secretary of the Interior that that it should be paid into the reclamation fund and that Section 6 provides for deposit in the Treasury as miscellaneous receipts.
Do you contest that there's a different disposition depending on which agency has?
It's... No, I would only point out that Interior, in discussing power revenues, which was a matter that they clearly had authority over the marketing of power at Army reservoirs until 77, that could not find a basis in the reclamation law to place power revenues from the Missouri River Corps developments in the reclamation fund, and that was resolved by subsequent congressional action that's not involved here. So where the money went could not have been a basis for the Congress in 1944 to have decided whether Interior could market any of this water for industrial use. There are statements in the Pick Sloan plan that regarding the utilization of reservoirs for irrigation storage was specifically rejected by Congress. And Congress also rejected amendments to Section 6 that would have specifically given the Secretary of the Interior authority over industrial use of Army reservoirs. And at that time, the Secretary of the Interior in 1944 specifically stated in asking for that authority that he recognized that industrial use in Section 6 in no way involves reclamation, but sought it for purposes of administrative efficiency. Congress did not adopt those amendments to Section 6, and Congress adopted the version of Section 8, which gives Interior authority over separate irrigation works and gives Interior authority over irrigation purposes, but not over industrial use. I believe that the Secretary of the Interior's decision is not entitled to deference, because the very question here is what law applies to industrial use at Oahe. Deference assumes that Congress has delegated authority to the agency to decide a question. And in this case, that is the issue. Congress did not delegate to the Secretary of the Interior the decision whether it would be Interior or Army or whether Section 6 would apply.
Well, maybe not to Interior. If the SG were here just representing Interior, I might agree with you, but certainly Congress delegated to Interior and Army the decision of what their respective jurisdictions are as an initial matter. I mean, it's always ours in the last analysis, but as an initial matter, surely the division of jurisdiction between Army and Interior is a matter for Army and Interior.
No, Your Honor, I believe Congress did address it in Section 6. Rather than saying Army and Interior shall decide how to run these reservoirs, Congress specifically provided for specific uses such as industrial use.
Well, the theory always is that there is some real jurisdiction, but the initial decision as to what that real jurisdiction is for Interior and Army. Not Interior alone. If you said that, I'd agree with you. Interior might be impinging on Army's ground. But here you have both Army and Interior saying this is how we think the jurisdiction
It may
be absolutely wrong, but at least you've got to say that that's the initial cut at it, and that cut should be given some deference, shouldn't it?
No. They make the decision initially, but Congress didn't give them any discretion as to the factors to use in making that decision. Congress specified the terms in Section 6, and it's a pure question of law as to whether the Secretary of the Interior can do it. And
we give no deference on pure questions of law.
If Congress has spoken, and it's ascertainable by principles of statutory construction, and Congress did not, in the statute, delegate discretion to the agency on that, then no, I don't believe this Court should give deference. I think this differs from cases in which Congress clearly indicated that an agency shall develop rules for its jurisdiction over counterclaims, or the agency shall determine whether this is a floodplain so that permits are required. In each of those, the Court makes the initial determination. We've delegated, that Congress has delegated the lawmaking function, the discretion to the agency to consider matters of policy and to resolve it. In this statute, under Section 6, under their arguments, it is a question of did Congress delegate the decision. It's a question of construction of Section 6 versus their suggestion that Congress silently created an exception for the Missouri River to the positions of the Act. The Missouri River Basin was clearly a major focus of the debate on the Flood Control Act of 1944. But questions of jurisdiction were resolved in the debate over Section 8 and the debate over Section 6. And in both of those debates, what happened was that Congress rejected the approach that the Secretary of the Interior is asserting here today. And every official position of the Secretary of the Army indicate that they cannot rely on the authority of Army under Section 6. We believe that Interior's position ignores the text, the legislative history, and the protections that Congress imposed in the Act for other uses. Our protection, by contrast, protects all uses as provided in Section 6. Interior has no authority to correct flaws that it perceives.
When you would like us to affirm, would you like us to embrace all the reasoning of the Court of Appeals?
I believe that the decision of the Court of Appeals is correct.
Yeah, and the reason for it, that this is just not a reclamation project?
I think clearly they have not established the threshold requirement for their contention that reclamation law applies, which is that it must be a reclamation development to be undertaken by the Secretary of the Interior under the Pick Sloan plans. It is not. Oahu was clearly undertaken by Army and not Interior.
Thank you, Ms. Ozenbaugh. Mr. Muneer, you have 5 minutes remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, to answer Justice O'Connor's question about whether or not existing uses were taken into account, on the Joint Appendix, page 226, the contract is set out, and I'd like to read what was said in the contract. The Secretary of the Interior, after consultation with the Secretary of the Army, has determined that providing water service for industrial use to ETSI for 20,000 acre-feet of water annually will not impair the efficiency of the project for irrigation, interfere with the operation of the project for flood control, nor adversely affect existing uses of water, and is a beneficial consumptive use of water. Clearly, this is on page 226 of the Joint Appendix, paragraph D. Next, I would like to just note some of the incongruities in the respondent's position. If, in fact, Section 9C requires that physical irrigation works must be completed before the Secretary of the Interior...
You've got to go back to that finding. That finding was not necessary, though, under your theory of the case.
Indirectly, it was, Your Honor, that we believe that consultation between Interior and Army is necessary as a part of the Pick Sloan plan. And it's important to focus. The question here is what the Pick Sloan plan requires, which is set forth in Section 9. So insofar as it's required, yes, that consultation, we believe, is required, and that was the fruit of that consultation.
It's not only consultation, but a finding similar to that required of no adverse effect downstream.
I'm not certain about that, but I think that it might well be. As I was saying, there are certain incongruities that come from respondent's position. If Section 9C requires that physical irrigation works must be completed before the Secretary of the Interior can invoke the reclamation laws, then the Secretary could not follow his standard practice of entering into reclamation contracts with irrigators prior to completing irrigation works. Notably, he entered into such a contract here with South Dakota's Oahu Conservancy District at the time he initiated the construction of the now-suspended Oahu Reservation or irrigation works. These works were in progress at the time that the ETSI contract, was entered into. Furthermore, if the Secretary is wrong in construing Section 9 to establish a functional division of authority at these reservoirs, then his determination of hydropower cost allocations for the entire Midwest...
Well, Mr. Muneer, what is your short answer, or is it a long answer, to why Section 8 is not applicable, where it just says that if the Secretary of Interior decides that there's irrigation water available and if the Secretary of War determines...
Yes, Your Honor, because those works have already, there already been an authorization for those works. This is for adding irrigation works to flood control projects that only have flood control features. The Sloan plan was, in fact, fulfilled that.
And this particular reservoir was the result of that kind of a...
Exactly. Those steps were followed in this case at the time that the project was authorized. Finally, there's some question whether Interior's reclamation activities at Pick Sloan. In fact, Interior is quite active. Or has been quite active. It participated in the determination of reclamation storage requirements here. It conducted extensive surveys of irrigation needs. It entered into a reclamation contract. It secured water rights for reclamation purposes. It continues to coordinate its main stem and tributary activities with the Army. So it's simply not accurate to say that Interior is not active at the Oahu Reservoir. Finally, I would like to address the practical considerations that lie at the very heart of this dispute. Congress approved the Pick Sloan plan to serve the needs of the entire Missouri River Basin. The congressionally approved plan was carefully formulated and coordinated by the Corps and Bureau of Engineers to provide a fair and efficient distribution of the Missouri River resources to all states within the basin. The Upper Basin states now seek a reasonable and indeed a reasonably anticipated benefit from their support of the program, the opportunity to put a portion of the water stored within these reservoirs to a beneficial use. The lower basin states, which already have far greater water resources than their northern neighbors, show no persuasive reason for their unwillingness to share the Missouri River.
Is the only basis for your saying the Interior has power to sell water for industrial use, that provision in the reclamation law that says it may sell for irrigation and miscellaneous purposes? purposes?
In conjunction with Section 9 of the Flood Control Act. The Flood Control Act gave Interior responsibility to these reservoirs to exercise its authority under the reclamation laws. And this particular reclamation law, 9C of the Reclamation Project Act, gives the Secretary express authority in this case.
To do what?
To provide irrigation, unneeded irrigation water for miscellaneous purposes as it's done throughout
the basin. And industrial use is a miscellaneous purpose.
That is correct.
Thank you, Mr. Manier. The case is submitted.